If you see somebody walking by and the back of their shirt says,
stay out of my breeches,
you know you failed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Card and Compliance. Hello, Donna.
Hello, David.
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Are you ready?
So, guess what? Next week, as you're listening to this, next week, we will be in Orlando, Florida for a whole week long. I just don't know, man. I'm excited for going to HIM17. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that you'll kill me before the end of the week, or we'll make it through the week.
I know.
And then I think just a little more than halfway through the week, as soon as HIMS is over with, we're jumping to another conference on podcasting.
Yeah. It was fate that we, the day that HIMS ends, in the same town, just the 4 miles away from us, is PodFest. It starts. So I think it was fate, and we have to go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's time for us to grow this thing.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
That, so, or as you're listening, at least learn how to really do one. We've never been trained.
You know, there's some truth in that.
We just figured it out so far. So, well, you know, maybe we'll actually do it right.
It would be boring if we did it right.
Yeah. You don't have all that random stuff.
So. Yeah, it would be interesting. But so we'll see. So we'll be at HIM17. If anybody is going to be there, let us know. Look us up. We'd like to meet you.
Tweet that us. Be, Facebook us.
Yep. MySpace us, whatever you want to do.
Oh, no, don't you.
is that still even a thing?
I don't know.
Yeah. So what else do you have going on? I know you got some other speaking engagements coming up as well.
Yeah, but let's see. On this one will be over, or this won't air until after one of them, which is I will have just done the Georgia Alabama HFMA joint day, if you will. And I'm sure I'm gonna have a blast doing that. And in case anybody asks, I do. But I also then have some other stuff, and actually, we've been contacted about potentially doing something together in Charlotte. So I don't even know if I told you that, but I'm doing the North Fulton chapter of Georgia MGMA, the mm-hmm. North Fulton MGMA, in March, and then in April, I'm doing the Southern Oncology Association of Practices spring meeting in Orlando. Whoop. So February in Orlando, April in Orlando, May I'll be in Hilton Head at the Georgia MGMA annual conference, and I am the Tuesday morning keynote, so I'll be waking you up.
Wow, the keynote.
Yeah.
What?
On cybersecurity. Yeah. So you know, I don't know. It's always risky having me in the morning. You never know what I did the night before.
I usually do know what you did the night before.
we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, boy. So, but next week, as you know, as we're in HIM17, we will be attempting to do some Facebook Live things while we're there. So, follow our Facebook page.
And Twitter.
And Twitter. Yeah. We won't be doing
I tweet there. I tweet.
Yeah, you tweet.
I'm the tweeter.
Don't but we're going to try to do some video, some Facebook Live video on the Facebook page. So be looking for that. And we'll probably do a montage and put it all together for an episode afterwards for those who didn't catch it. But so we're looking for some fun times, break out some technology and act kind of crazy at the conference. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people walking around with ties and straight-laced, and then you'll have us two acting crazy somewhere.
Hey, we'll we'll be wearing our new Help Me with HIPAA shirts that we've got. Mm-hmm. So, and we're testing out a new shirt that we may be sharing with the fans, and I think it's going to be pretty cool. We'll post some pictures of them.
Yeah, that it'll get some attention. I can guarantee you that.
Hey, just remember, if you see, go ahead and say it, David. If you see somebody walking by and the back of their shirt says,
stay out of my breeches.
You know you found us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But speaking of staying out of breaches, today we're going to be talking about private parts.
You're right, we are.
So let's look in the breaches and at the private parts and find and we're going to talk about privacy from a unique angle, as we do most things, because the annual reporting deadline for the little breaches is coming up at the end of February. So we're going to talk about that and what you need to do around that. But it also, you know, it means that all the violations that you had in 2016 that were small, and we've even had some people send questions in asked about that. Like, you know, I had a one person breach. What do I need to do about that? And, you know, do I need to report it now or later? So, you know, anything that's small, you report at the end of the year, February is your deadline. So
I recommend you go ahead and report them once you've got everything, you know, the resolution. You don't save them up. you know, maybe do it quarterly or something. But there are some people, they just do, they go out there and they slap them all out there at the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, I guess they have the option either way they want to do it.
Jeez.
But, you know, the thing about it is, and we talk about this a lot, that the smaller breaches really are indicators. And by taking those things and really dissecting them, which we do on the show, it allows us to try to find ways to not have the big ones. So that you're not having the ones that we talk about a lot.
Well, it's like, well, you know, the OCR announcement last year that they were going to start taking into consideration the smaller breaches and things that had occurred in the past in their investigations. Mm-hmm. And the first three settlements, and there was a new settlement we haven't even covered yet. We've covered the first two, the third one. But in all of those cases, they mentioned that previously they agreed they were going to do stuff. So they had already been kind of like, hey, you had a breach and we would like for you to do these things. And then they had another one and it's kind of like, bam. So drawing attention to a bunch of little breaches by reporting them all at the same time might be a thing. But they said they consider those little breaches could be indicators like a canary in the mine. Mm-hmm. And not in the mind, in the mine. So I think they're important. And often the little breaches are very, very specific scenarios that are very personal. And that's why when I was trying to figure out, you know, how do we really talk about in a more than just a, hey, report your breaches kind of thing. So I was trying to look for a way to talk about these privacy parts and private parts, as David says. And I came across, there's this story in, of course, it happened in Atlanta because it was really creepy. I mean, it creeped me out. And so I had to share it. And it's a real indicator of what you should think about when we talk about these small breaches. And, you know, generally those are an improper disclosure of an individual or maybe only a couple of individuals. And it's not these big criminal enterprises. It's actually violating someone's privacy specifically after them. So this is our creepy story that'll lead us into how you should think about little breaches. You ready for that, David?
I'm ready.
Okay, so this is in Peachtree City, Georgia, which is south of Atlanta, down near the airport.
A very Georgia name.
No, really. We have like 149 streets with the name Peachtree in it here. So it's on Peachtree. Go ahead, find it. Peachtree City is a really nice middle class neighborhood, and they got all these little. It's one of the first little towns that would put golf carts everywhere. You know, that's a thing now. Where the communities have the golf carts and you travel around the community in the golf carts. And it's really cool. And they were one of the first ones that did it. And, you know, this is, I guess, the late 80s, 90s. It was a really popular place and growing. And now it's a very established place that's well known. And so they had this problem. And this has gone on for 6 years. That's right. 6 years.
Wow.
The police have been taking complaints about a peeping Tom roaming one of these big subdivisions down there, you know, and they don't have like five houses in the subdivision. I think it would be a little, if you got five houses and you can't work it out in 6 years.
I don't see why it took so long. They knew the guy's name was Tom.
Mr. Peeping? Mr. Peeping.
Exactly. I didn't take so long to get him. Good grief. Didn't be that many Toms in the neighborhood.
That's right. Just say, Mr. Peeping, I'd like for you to come talk to me. So they've been chasing this down, though, and they've been questioning people all over the neighborhoods, and, you know, they couldn't catch him. You know, they have these great cart paths and all these nice wooded areas, so not security cameras, nothing. They couldn't even see the guy. So they're really frustrated with this, and, of course, the people that lived there were also frustrated. Well, that all came crashing down on New Year's Eve. So, you know, a lot of us, New Year's Eve, we consider that amateur night like Halloween. We don't go out because that's where all the crazies are. And the people that only go out those two nights, I just let them do it. I stay in, have my own private events. So, but there are other people, they don't want to get out and celebrate. And so they're at home. And this couple, they were at home and they had gone in the bedroom, turned on the telly, you know, watching the New Year's Rockin' Eve or the CNN, with, which is what I watch because it's funny. But Kathy Griffiths and, you know, Anderson Cooper. But anyway, they're in there, they're watching the telly, and they keep hearing a noise outside. And so the husband gets up and he pulls back the curtains, and there's a dude staring right back at him. He's dressed all in black. You know, he's just staring right back at him. And the dude, you know, and everybody, I'm sure, screamed. You know, it was one of those moments where everybody went, ah, all three of them.
He's like, give me some candy.
So, you know, I'm sure being in Georgia, he went to get his gun, but, and she called the police. But by the time everybody got there, the dude was gone. Poof. Which is how he's been able to get away with this for so long, right? Mm-hmm. And so they start looking around everywhere, and they realize, you know what? One of his neighbors is somebody we've talked to before.
Oh.
You know, so let's go over there and see what they, see if they're home.
See if Tom's home.
See what's up. See if we can clear somebody. Yeah. And so they go to the house, and the wife answers the door and says, we want to talk to your husband. She goes, oh, you know what? I don't know where he went to. Dum, da, dum, dum, dum. They couldn't find him. So the three cops that came in two cars, they get together and they're like, we're going to get him. If this is him, we're going to get him. So the two cars leave, but one of the police officers stays, and he hides in the backyard of this this missing dude's house. And as soon as those cars have cleared the neighborhood, dude comes running out of, you know, hiding and headed towards his back door. And the cop's like, how you doing? And there he was, you know, Tom, as we call him, Mr. Peeping. He was wearing the exact same stuff that the people had reported. He was out of breath. He was sweating, and he's carrying a camera. So they're thinking, maybe you might be the Peeping Tom. There's all of these indications.
He's a nighttime photographer, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I was out photographing some squirrels. So they arrest him and they confiscate the camera. Well, the camera had video of the people that he was, you know, that had reported it. So it was clearly him. He had the video of them and the whole, you know, I'm sure the camera went down at that moment when the curtains opened. But also, it was like on that same card, and, you know, I'm sure it wasn't a VCR camera, you know, with a VHS tape in it. Surely not. He's running through.
With the shoulder camera.
Yeah, one of those shoulder cameras. He's running through the neighborhood, you know. But it on the card, he had a whole bunch of other videos of this same couple.
Oh,
it's
nice.
The same woman. So it's like he had a card of them. And, you know. Yeah,
segmented.
Yeah, so he's like, I'm going to go to so-and-so's house. Let me get their file. Pulls out the file, all of his little notes of where's the best place to look, whatever. I don't know what the Peeping Toms do for their record keeping. But clearly, he was keeping a lot because he had all this digital storage, just Mac daddy amounts of, you know, the external hard drives. You can get terabytes and terabytes of data on those. And apparently, he had a ton of that, so they grabbed it. But in their initial pass of it, the stuff that was on the computer, and we're not even talking about the massive amounts of storage of 6 years of peeping, he had all kinds of different females in the neighborhood going through their nighttime rituals. So he's clearly doing this at night. He would have them like brushing their teeth, changing clothes, sleeping. Oh, yeah, and having sex, you know, because you got to have that in there. If you're a peeping Tom, what are you after, right? So far, they've charged him with 23 incidents of eavesdropping, unlawful surveillance, criminal trespass, prowling, and then being Mr. Tom, peeping Tom. My name is Tom, peeping Tom. You know, and they're not done yet, and they've identified like four different women so far, and that got 23 accounts of against him, and they've still got 6 years to go through. And can you?
I just see the police officer like holding the video camera up, knocking on the door, and like, "Lady, is this you? This video, we can't see your face."
Oh,
we're just going door to door.
See, you should listen to what happened to this guy, and you need to encrypt your stuff, brother, Mr. Oh, wait, you live near all your family. Never mind. There's no, you got to go too far to find somebody else where you live, right?
Yep.
So, anyway, so you can see, I mean, can you imagine what those people who find out and they had no idea? You know, who knows if this guy had all of these different cases, you know, different recordings that, you know, they didn't hear him every time. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at it, and that's clearly an invasion of privacy. Everybody gets that. And I'm sure there are some people somewhere that would be okay with that, but I'm pretty sure it would be a very small minority. Right. Most of us don't expect, you know, there's a phrase called in the privacy of your own home. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is when you parallel that with the digital world, which is what we're kind of doing here, that we hear all the time, like, oh, I don't care if people look at my stuff. I mean, I don't have anything in there anyway. Well, I mean, wouldn't you think that these people would be like, oh, I don't really care. You looked at my bedroom. I mean, I don't have anything in there anyway.
Really.
I mean, you know, it's kind of the same thing. And, you know, yeah. And we say this all the time, you know, you don't know who's looking at your stuff. And that's kind of the same thing in the story here. They didn't know people were this guy was looking into their privacy stuff.
And while you think that there's nothing to be seen with brushing your teeth, you know, they kind of have that attitude of, I don't do anything but brush my teeth. I mean, go ahead and take a picture of me brushing my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine somebody's watching you brush your teeth every time you do it, and you don't know they're watching.
Mm-hmm. If you got a webcam, that might be happening.
Yeah, we need to do a whole episode on that, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
But in the in that realm, you're kind of getting where we're going is, imagine if this peeping Tom, a stalker or whatever, was monitoring your medical records just like this guy was doing on his neighbors, and even maybe your neighbors are doing it. And are you okay with that? Do you think, oh, I'm good with that? Just like you said, I don't have anything to hide. Well, do you really? I mean, do you go and announce everything that you're tested on at the doctor and everything you talk to your doctor about? I know there are people that overshare.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. There are plenty of those in the millennials especially. But it's still something where you get to decide that you're going to do it. So when we talk about these little breaches, you know, clearly those were all little breaches. Each of those people is what this guy was looking at. So think of how creepy that was and how hard it was for the police to catch him. So that's why we want things like unique usernames and passwords so you're not acting as each other, so we can easily track those things down. And when we look at these small privacy violations, that's when it really comes into play. And so I have a few examples of the small violations that we can kind of go through to just talk about that same invasion of privacy feeling.
Okay.
And these would be things that are one-offs that would be reported by the end of February of whatever year they happened in, technically.
You mentioned earlier, too, about, you know, the reporting aspect and what OCR's talked about looking into the small breaches. But we've also mentioned, too, that they've even talked about looking into those practices who are not reporting anything for a period of time.
Yeah, that does matter, too. Because to say none of this ever happens to you, that you don't have any of these things happen, you know, that you never have to tell a patient, oopsie, or somebody looked at something that you shouldn't, that starts raising a red flag too. Mm-hmm. If you've never had to do that and you've never reported anything in the last 3 years, especially the last 3 years, if you've never reported anything in the last 3 years, you're going to start raising red flags. Mm-hmm. So just know that. You end up on an audit and they'll be like, you've never reported anything. Let's see.
Yeah.
So indeed, it does matter. Don't report too much. Don't report too little.
The Goldilocks report.
It's just right. So so here are a few of the examples so that you can see what these tiny mistakes and without these kinds of HIPAA protections, you couldn't call the police. You know, you actually had no, there's nothing that you could hang your hat on as an invasion of privacy if we didn't have HIPAA in these cases. Or at least it would be hard and everybody would be finagling the laws to say, is that an invasion of privacy? Because technically they had access to it. They weren't really supposed to see it to do their job, but technically they had access to it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, those mistakes and those improper disclosures don't have a lot of legal standing unless we have HIPAA. So when everybody says, why do we need HIPAA? Well, here you go. Here are because of Mr. Tom, Peeping Tom. So first one is a doctor's office faxes a patient's medical record to the wrong number. Okay, well, you know, people talk about that happens all the time, but the wrong number they used mm-hmm. was the work address. So mm-hmm. the work address of the patient, they fax information to that includes the fact that they're HIV positive.
Ouch.
Which the employer did not know. And, you know, especially several years ago, that was kind of tricky. It still is, but it was very tricky several years ago, you know, that people would instantly, suddenly have, or instantly, suddenly.
I like
the dictionary
that.
Under redundant, it says C redundant. But they had, you know, a lot of cases where suddenly people would start getting bad reviews after they'd been wonderful reviews. So this is a very serious thing. And imagine that you had anything that you don't want to share with the office for whatever reason. I mean, I don't want to share things with a lot of people because, you know, it's none yes.
It's mind your business.
None your business. None your business. All right, and then we have a Team No-Hose, and it's just Facebook, not reality, people, which we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. But in both of those cases, it was somebody that had access to information, and then they used it individually. So they announced stuff at family reunions or baby showers about somebody's medical, you know, with the whole family around, let me announce that you are pregnant, or that you just had a pregnancy test. How did it come out? Or you just got tested for STDs. They announced it in front of the whole family. I mean, yes, you know, everybody, that one is clearly a dysfunctional family reunion where you bring an unresolved issue and a covered dish. But the...
don't they all happen that way?
I know, really. But, you know, it doesn't matter what X is. It's the fact that you didn't intend to share it with everybody, and you certainly didn't intend to put it on Facebook. And then we got the Farrah Fawcett case, and that one really, to me, is very, very sad in so many ways that, you know, she was struggling with cancer for so long, and every time she was in the hospital or having any kind of treatment, it would end up in the papers, you know, whether it was, you know, the Inquirer or whatever at the time. And she was certain that it was coming out of UCLA Hospital, and they kept telling her, no, 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 it's not. And she reached the point where she would only tell like two people that she was in the hospital, and only two people were allowed to know what she was being treated for and what her prognosis was. And then it still came out, and she was easily able to prove then to UCLA, and they find out, sure enough, that there was an employee that was selling that information on her. But what was it made it even more sad was that this employee had been there for years and years And she was diagnosed with cancer, so she needed the money, so she started selling other people's information. So this that goes back to, you don't know what's happening in people's lives. You may have known them for years, but you don't know what's going on in their lives. They do, people hide stuff. That's called privacy. Mm-hmm. And then this one, I didn't know about until I found it in researching the things to cover in here. And it was interesting to you, being a Carolina boy. Which, by the way, rise up.
Yeah.
I know. It's happening this weekend, so I had to get it in there. But hopefully we'll perform better than Carolina did last year.
Yeah, so.
I know, really. So anyway, there was a whole thing going on. Cam Newton had an injury to his ankle, and everybody was just, you know, going back and forth about, you know, is he going to be able to play? Does it require surgery? You know, this big money here that's being put on this stuff and his career. So he's going back and forth, and sports radio shows talking about it because that's what they do. And a caller says, hey, this is Rick. Rick from Charlotte, what you got to tell us? And Rick says, well, my wife, she's a nurse at the orthopedic surgeon, and she says he's going to have surgery. So, number one, clearly the wife has screwed up because you don't get to go home and tell anybody.
Who's in the doghouse? Who's in the doghouse?
Who's in the doghouse? So, and you know, it got really bad because, you know, of course it hits the news instantly that he's having surgery. It's all over the place. And the team has to then immediately come out with an announcement that he's having ankle surgery. And they even mention, the guy even talks about the doctor's office, who then starts getting calls saying, hey, is this really true? And, you know, it's like, what a, okay.
Wow.
But anyway, you know, clearly that was a big mess. And, you know, no matter whether you're a fan of Cam Newton or not, it's irrelevant. He has a right to decide what is told and when about his healthcare information. And so does his team. So, there was one that was interesting. Can you imagine the, like, the doctor driving down the road? He's listening to the same sports show.
No kidding. Wow. It's like, you know, we're only supposed to call the media when there's 500 or more, not just one.
We're having to tell everybody when there's one. And then you got another one where a nurse and a husband are in a traffic accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're being sued by the other people in the other car. Well, she goes and pulls their medical records and takes it to the plaintiffs and threatens them, trying to get them to drop the lawsuit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was great. So clearly, invasion of privacy. They're using that against them. And I think it was, hey, I'm going to expose this other thing about you if you take us to court.
Hey, the ends justify the means.
That's kind of what they thought. There, you know, one we talked about before, a doctor who looked up his mistress's medical records because he was worried she had an STD and was sleeping around.
Well, that's important. That's very important information.
It's your mistress. Your wife should be looking up your STDs because you're sleeping around. But, you know, he had no right, you know, and he had, because he had access to the systems, it is a one of those cases where, because you can look at it, doesn't mean you should.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things we teach over and over and over is, if it's not for you to do your job, don't open it up. Don't look at it. And if you accidentally do, close it quick. And we got then the pharmacist. Whoa. CVS and Walgreens, we got stories from both of them.
Yeah.
Whoa. And CVS had so many different, I mean, they got hit with a multi-million dollar fine a while back, but they had a patient's meds were sent to a neighbor. You know, they were doing the delivery or mail, whatever. The neighbor had no idea when he received this package for his neighbor that they were being treated for cancer. And mm-hmm. So they came over and said, I'm so sorry, and then told the whole neighborhood. I'm sure, you know, it was probably the Gladys Kravitz of the neighborhood. Then you have another pharmacist, for whatever reason, is yelling patient information over the counter at a patient. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I know it's sometimes hard to be a pharmacist, especially during flu season. but you don't need to be yelling, "Hey, Mr. John Smith, do you still need that cream for that rash on your..."
"We've called your name 8 times. Come on."
"Do you want it or not?"
"No, I'm not going to show you how to apply it. Get it and get out of here."
That's hilarious. At any rate, you know, you got that case. Then you have, and this one, let me just say, I in my personal life, I have family members that are going through these things. So I understand where you have this intense desire to do this, but it doesn't mean you should. Is an employee at a CVS accessed her ex-husband's records over 260 times. She's like trying to track him or something. I don't know.
She paid that much attention to him when they were married. They wouldn't be divorced.
Well, then there's a point. Although I'm not quite sure what she was paying attention to in his pharmacy records, but whatevs. That happened. They had an employee who shared health information with a parole officer.
Okay.
Parole officer just walked in and asked, and apparently they said, "Oh, well, here's what their meds are, blah, 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 blah." I don't know. They had one employee for some reason. I don't know. They maybe had a vendetta, but they were reviewing somebody's medical records, hit it 61 times, and was posting the information on Facebook.
Mm.
And then, of course, we have the famous Walgreens case where the pharmacist used information in the medical records to help her boyfriend in his lawsuit against his baby mama. And used her health records against her in court, and then that became another court case. So you can see how these small privacy things really do come into play. And if you have any related, if you can relate at all to the Peeping Tom scenario where you would feel that your privacy is violated, you need to relate to the people these things happen to as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as people who have access to these records, you need to relate in the same way. If you find yourself wanting to look at these records, would you be the one outside somebody's door dressed in black outside their window with a video recorder? If you're not going to do that, then don't look at the medical records. That's what I'm saying. That's what I have to say about that.
You're almost like you have like a passion about this. Like maybe somebody's looked in your window before. Do you live in this neighborhood, Donna?
Well, you know, if all you do all day is you sit and hear about how bad this stuff can be and you're still a jovial person, yeah, you're going to have that passion somewhere. Well, there you have it. You know, it's trying to teach people this stuff matters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as paranoid as I am, I have all of that blockout stuff on all of my windows. Yeah, I'm paranoid. There's one window that you can see in at night. I'm like, I've got to cover that up.
She spray painted her windows on her car black and wondered why she ran it off the road.
I got cardboard up over all the windows so you can't see in. Blackout. Yeah, that's me. No, I don't. I don't have a tinfoil hat either. Oh, wait. It's not tinfoil. We used to call it that. But it's not that anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have made one before because I had a paranoid friend, so I sat down and made one with her. But
I have an interesting story about that, but I won't share it on the air. But I'll tell you when we're in Orlando. I'll tell you the story.
All right, sounds good. And that we might be out one night hitting Facebook Live with that one.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's you know, the point of today is truly that if you wouldn't be a peeping Tom looking in somebody's window, then don't look at the medical records, and certainly don't share it with anybody, even if you are allowed to see it, like the nurse and. Cam Newton's case. I mean, it was the nurse who was supposed to be seeing the records and still shared it. So, you know, that's kind of like, you know, keeping the videotapes for 6 years.
Yeah. And as you mentioned before, too, you know, people who have the right to access it and all that, sometimes they talk to other members of the workforce, and which, you know, kind of sets them up for failure because then they want to go and look at it themselves when they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, it doesn't matter whether it's a covered entity or a business associate, because, you know, you have the access to the information. That's the key, you know, and there are times, you know, I have to say, we work on accounts and we look at stuff, and I don't pay attention to who it is on purpose after all these years. If I don't need to know who the patient is, I don't even pay attention to who the patient is. It's just an account number or something I'm looking up. And, you know, if it's a unique name and I'm having to type it all the time, I might remember it. But I do that on purpose. And, you know, really, there are things where I've seen things and I will ask them not, you know, I don't need to see that patient. Show me a different one, because it's a name I know. And I'm not even sure it's the person that has that name, but it's a name I know. You know, there could be more people with that name. So I go out of my way to do that, and I certainly know many other people that do. But clearly, that message has not gotten across to everybody. Mm-hmm. So don't be a peeping Tom.
Or Thomasina.
Okay, so we're done for now.
All right, so that's our show for today, folks. I want to thank you for listening. And if you're going to be in HIMSS 17, remember that we'll be down there. So look us up and watch us on Facebook Live. It should be interesting to see our antics live without anybody, you know, cutting out the good parts. So head on over to iTunes as well. Review the show. Review the podcast. Tell us how great it is, because that's pretty much the only thing it can be. And share us out on social media. We appreciate that. And visit us on the web at helpmewithhipaa.com. If you got a question, you can ask it right there. And we appreciate those who've sent in questions recently. We will get to those on the air. We have answered them already, but we haven't put on the air yet. So we'll do that here in a recent episode coming up. But remember, for Donna and myself, that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.